What I love about the Word of God, it does not show us just the grandiose ideologies of successful families that have no turbulence, but from the very first family, He warns us that families will be complicated, conflicted, dysfunctional. If the first family was dysfunctional, the apple couldn't fall too far from the tree. As soon as God put the man in the garden and pulled out of him the woman, and they started the first family, murder hit the first family. Is a clue that there is going to be turbulence the rest of the book with families. The law of first mention, the first family that's mentioned, is dysfunctional, and all the way throughout the rest of the book, we see turbulence, we see rape, we see molestation, we see drunken fathers, we see ungrateful sons, we see the impediments of people who dress themselves up like prostitutes and slept with their father-in-law to get pregnant to produce children. This, if the Bible were to be cinematic, it would at least be rated R. At least rated R, because God is honest and vivid about the fact that life is messy. It's complicated. That's why you ought not to covet your neighbor, because you're standing on the outside, and on the outside, every family looks good and stable and solid and sane. And part of your pain comes from your comparison, because you wish that your family were more like them, but if you went inside the house, you would find out that they are not everything that you thought that they were. And maybe you better deal with the devil you know. Than the devil you don't. Family is tough. I would rather build a church any day than build a family. I would rather build a business any day than build a family. I would rather lay block than build a family, because block don't have an opinion. Block don't talk back. It stays where you put it. Come on, somebody. But raising a family, see, every block got a mouth, and every mouth has an opinion, and every opinion has to be expressed, and it is your job to hold together all of these different opinions and personalities and attitudes and dispositions and mood swings and midlife crisis and menopause and adolescence. You gotta hold it together for a long time. There is no retiring from your family. There is no resigning from your family. You will always be attached to them. Don't believe your divorce papers. Just because you signed a release doesn't mean you're out of jail. Because the first time trouble rises, the first time they have a car wreck, the first time they get sick, the first time they get in trouble, they're going to call you, and it's going to affect you. I know you said you don't care and it don't bother you, but you're going to have flashbacks because you got a brain, and you're going to have a, where are the real people at? Are y'all sitting in the section over here? Flashback. Have you ever had a flashback? You broke up, but you still got a flashback, and you're a little worried, but you can't call, and you tell yourself you don't care, but you do, and you're walking around in the middle of the night with that little sick feeling in the bottom of your stomach, because your stomach won't listen at your head and disconnect from the fact that you are still connected. Though you are free on paper, you are still bound by experience, and families are messy business. We live in a time now that everybody wants everything quick. Quick love. Immediate gratification. I'm going to talk about some stuff you don't know about because you grew up on instant grits. But I remember when grits were an instant. So what you call good grits, I just call gritty. Because real grits are slow cooked. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Real grits are slow cooked, take a long time to get the grits right. But that stuff y'all throwing in the microwave that you call grits is not really grits. Because if you want something to have real flavor, you got to slow cook it. You got to put it on a smoker. You got to give it some time. You can't cook collard greens in 15 minutes. It takes time to cook green. You got to put the meat in and let it boil down and let it thicken up and let it get a little flavor in it. Come on, somebody. You got to cut your greens and wash your greens and add them in at the right time and then cover them up and let it cook down. Let all the juices cook down till you can't tell the greens from the broth. And see, we don't have time for that. We want instant sons and instant fathers and instant marriages. Listen, it takes 30 minutes to have a wedding. But it may take 30 years to have a marriage. And most of us, if we don't get what we need when we need it, like we need it, in the style that we need it, in our love language, we're out of there. And all of these love languages sound like the United Nations to me. How am I supposed to know what your love language is? I'm still trying to figure out what my love language is. And when your love language and my love language and then the kids' love language gets in there, it sounds like the day of Pentecost. Touch me. No, give me space. Acknowledge me. No, don't make me stand up in front of people. Shut up! The family started before the church. God knew he had to slow cook it because it was going to take a long time to get that right. He didn't even bring up the church to the New Testament, but he started the family way back in the book of Genesis because he said, this is slow grits. We got to cook it real slow. Because the brothers are going to get jealous.
What?
And brothers do get jealous.
Bishop already.
And they're going to murder. And they're going to kill. And they're going to be envious, some vocally, some silently. Ooh. But it takes a long time to have a family.